Proudly presented by Paul Everett's RV Country. This is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit with 94-year-old Pascual Reyes of Madera, California, originally from East Los Angeles. He is an ex-prisoner of war and Purple Heart recipient from the 36th Infantry Division in World War II. You might recognize that division as the one whose men became the Lost Battalion, cut off but then rescued because of the heroics of the Japanese-American soldiers of the 442nd Regimental Combat Team. Mr. Reyes was captured before all of that happened. We're going to hear about his capture, but before we left off, he shared how he prayed for God to protect him. I know, though, that having your faith coexist with the unfathomable things happening around you was something that you really struggled with at times.
When we were in France, I didn't want to go into the mess hall because, you know, the padre was giving the mess, you know, to everybody, and I didn't want to go in there. This chaplain asked me, he was in the outside, he said, "What's wrong now?" I said, "I don't want to go in there because right now I go in there and we pray and all that, then I come out and go and kill Germans." I said, and I get confused. This chaplain was outside, you know. He said, "This is what the Lord said for you?" "No. The Lord didn't send me here. My government sent me here. You know, I'll do my duty, but I don't want to go into church. I get all mixed up, so I don't want to go in there." He said, "All right. But wherever you are, you can say your prayers by yourself or whatever, but you can say it by yourself. Lord, we will hear you. You don't have to go to mass. You can do it by yourself." And that's the way I went. When I was in a tight spot, which I was, I would ask the Lord to help me. "Please help me. I haven't got no out." It's like he said, "You can't. You can't do it." And I would curl and get the hell out of the place where I was, because they would be putting mortars in that spot, and some of the guys got it, you know.
Can you give us a taste of that? How close some of these instances were? I mean, how close these enemy mortar shells are coming to you, or bullets? What are the closest calls that you remember?
I went in a patrol down to the valley because we were up here. I went down to... there was a building there. There had been a tank in there shooting. And we knew there was a tank, but we weren't too sure. We didn't want to kill people. So some guys and me, we were sent down the valley to find this tank in there. And we got into a firefight with the Germans there. Some guy got mistaken and started shooting down where we were.
One of your own guys?
Yeah. So they pulled us back. They told us, "Get the hell out of there and come on back." So we come on back. But that time there was dike. Anyway, I'm going to tell you before we got into that mountain, you know, where we were right there, it was a minefield. And these two guys, these two rangers, marked it. They went in there and they marked it, that minefield. And then we attacked it and we went one by one across that minefield. A big, long minefield, I can remember. We got out of there.
So you're walking this very narrow path that these rangers had marked, the only safe way through.
Yeah. When we got up there, this guy and me, they sent us to different positions. So we got up to that position where we were supposed to be. They told us, "You guys get in there where the Germans had been before." So we were supposed to be two. And I told that guy, "Who the hell is that? This is other guy. There's three of us. We're supposed to be two." I said, "I don't know. Ask him what division he is." "God damn, he was a German." That scared the heck out of me. Man, I said, "How could I miss that? You know, he was a German." He said he stayed behind because he wanted to give up. So we set him down. Oh, man, he scared the heck out of me. Oh, man, I couldn't talk. My mouth got dry. But he was... No, he didn't do nothing. But that's the most scared piece in my mind. Oh, I said, "I got it now." No, I was okay. Yeah. Another time, I was with a captain. I'm all around, hit the top. He was knocked out. So the lieutenant had to take over. And I didn't get hurt. But I took a dive right away. I ran over and took a dive. There was a canal, empty, like a river or whatever. And all the guys were mashed up in there. I got in there, and they started throwing mortars, but they were hitting in the building. and the captain was wounded in there. So some of the guys went out and took him out and took him in the canal with us. But it was really close as those guys shooting those mortars.
And I know there's really no end to your close calls, but walk me through what it was like to make this landing in Salerno, Italy. You mentioned how the German defenses had entry points on the beach zeroed in from multiple firing locations. This is September 1943. You'd be spending the better part of the next year fighting in Italy. But what was that invasion like, and what kind of opposition were you up against as you came ashore?
Everything, even the big guns, and there were all the heavy artillery. And I got off right in town. So I had a little cover from the buildings. I remember this guy came right up to the, almost up like a pier. And we got off there. They got the heck out of there. But the rest of the guys got a little on the other side.
So what's happening around you as you're coming in?
Oh, a lot of artillery, a lot of machine gun bullets coming. They had a 50 heavy gun shooting. And they were just going through some of the bullets. You know, they were made of wood. And they would just cut right through it.
So they were hitting the boats as they're approaching the shore.
They were going down, a lot of boats. And like I say, you know, I threw my things off.
Yeah, you got rid of your bandoliers so they didn't weigh you down and make you drown. But how close do you think those enemy bullets came to you on that day?
Well, they hit our boat. They hit some of the guys on the side.
On your own boat, really close to you?
Yeah. Yeah, see, you get the front, you know, where the ramp opens, yep. Then you go in the back. I was in the front, and, you know, they were shooting. We started going on our stomach, but we couldn't very well. We were one on top of the other. Because it was standing up, that thing was just cutting right through. So, yeah, it was really bad.
So if you stood up in the boat, you're probably going to get killed.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It was bad, yeah. That thing was very bad. Because the machine guns kept going. Once you're in the base, you know, you have to get off. Either there or you just die there. On account of the mortars, they throw a lot of mortars. Especially the Germans, they like to throw a lot of mortars.
So where'd you go from there? What were those next days and weeks like after you came ashore at Salerno?
We fought and fought until we broke the line, the defense lines they had. They had a lot of defense lines. The 1, 2, 3 defense lines, they could stay there. Until we broke them because American paratroopers jumped in the back and the British, they started coming in, they started helping out, you know. Instead of having all those lines of German defenses, some of them had to turn and face the British and the Americans. But the American paratroopers were just breaking right through them. We started breaking right through ourselves. But those tanks, they had a lot of tanks, but our planes came in, you see. That by that time, a lot of those Tukas had been knocked out. And our American planes were just coming in one after another. And then they started bringing in the B-70s, the heavier bombs. Those bombers throw a lot of bombs. And they throw in those fire bombs. You could see the German line. The whole bunch of lines I seen that coming out of Rome. And you could see the whole line burning. And the airplanes had knocked them all this line. They had been knocked out. We were pretty good.
You say Italy is where you first contracted malaria?
Yeah.
What does that do to you? What does that feel like? What kind of condition did it leave you in?
Oh, boy. I was so sick. We had just gotten off the fighting there in the houses and all that and met the paratroopers. And I was sitting down there drinking a lot of water. Some of the guys went and got me some water in a helmet. I about drank all of it. And then all of a sudden, I just fell off. And I can remember when they had me in a stretcher, in a Jeep, in the fender. They put me there, and I was bumping. I opened my eyes, and I was in a Jeep. And then the next time I opened my eyes, I was in a general hospital there in Italy, and we had a lot of wounded in there. And I woke up next to a friend of mine, this little Italian guy, he was blonde hair. He was from the Bronx, and I told him, you know, I'm going to go back now. I'm going to go back to my outfit. I can't stand being here, and everybody's moving up. So I did. I got a supply truck, and he was going up, and they took me up there, and I did pretty good. I stayed with my division for a while until they captured me. I wasn't scared, but they wanted me to carry this guy, and it was raining, and I couldn't make it. They captured me because we were in two buildings. I was in one building, and they were in the majority of the guys were in this big building. And then to the right was a forest, and to the back of them, there was forest. And I told them, we're going to be down there. You guys start going down. It's going to start raining. It's getting dark, dark. We'll engage the guys, the enemy. We'll engage them for a while. Then we're going to start running back over there that way. About that time, this jeep comes in, and they were shooting all over him, but they didn't get him. He was a captain. We told him to get the hell out to the back, to run over to our forest. We started engaging the enemy. Well, of course, you know, just a little while, somebody in English, told us, you Americans better give up now. You haven't got a chance. Plain English, good English. Then he talked to us in Spanish, and he told us, you know, that we didn't have a chance in Spanish. I said, what the hell is this? About that time, a big tank comes, stays over there. So what we did, we gave up. But the rest of the guys had taken off. They escaped, some of them, but some of them were still captured.
How many were there in the group that you were in that were captured there?
Oh, about 5 or 7, something like that.
But you knew you guys were outnumbered and surrounded.
Oh, yeah. With that tank, if we would have done a couple of shots, that tank would have blown us up. I wouldn't be here. So I told the guys, what's up to you? I'll leave it up to you. You want to keep on or you want to give up now? I said, there's no chance. Remember, that tank is up there. Said, we haven't got a chance.
Well, and before you got captured, you were wounded. What happened there? Tell me about it.
Well, what happened is that I got wounded, you know, I don't know if it was a bullet or a piece of that stuff, but hit my butt. You know, most of the time you get hit in the butt, and I did. I couldn't walk very much. I couldn't run that much. Then they wanted me to carry a German when I got captured because I couldn't move very much.
Because you got captured not long after you're wounded, yeah. Your left side is still in a lot of pain?
Yeah. Uh-huh. They got me real bad, you know, and I couldn't move. I didn't want to shoot because, you know, I couldn't move. I knew that if I shot, I was going to be killed because I couldn't run and hide behind the trees and all that. So like the German said, just throw your rifle out. It'll be clear.
Well, maybe you can walk us through what it was like from there, because I'm sure you had no idea what to expect when you're going to be a prisoner.
I didn't expect nothing. I knew that I was captured. I didn't know if I was going to be killed because they told us, you know, that be careful because some of these Germans are very handy with their rifles or pistols, and they don't care. They'll knock the hell out of you. But they captured me, and they took me to a barn because it started raining. Some of us, they didn't keep us together because we were quite a bit of us, about 200, I think. They had a lot of hay, and some of these Germans were resting inside the barn. Why fight it? There's nothing for me to do right now. I went to sleep. In the morning, they marched us to this place, prison place. Before they did that, they interview us and all that. He was a mean little guy. You know, all we said were like, everybody, your name, rank, and serial number. And we stuck with it. And we stuck with it, period. They wanted to know how many divisions or what company and all that. We didn't say nothing. Slapped the hell out of us.
Wait, I want to make sure people hear that. You said they slapped you.
Oh, yes. They slapped us a couple of times. They did that because they were trying to hurt us, to scare us. See, we would talk, see? I knew that. So they sent me to a prison camp where I met the rest of the guys, and they were aviators. And they I talked with this young aviator, and he told me, he said, I was wounded, and my plane came down, and I got hurt. But they took care of me here in the hospital. You'd be imagined, doctors there, German doctors, good doctors that took care of the people. Anyway, we were in that camp, and the Nazis would come around in the car, and they would go through the camp and check everybody out, make everybody stand out. Then they would send out the dogs in there to all the buildings. They were looking for a radio. These guys, these engineers, we picked up what they told us to pick, and they made a radio. And they had it there, and right in the kitchen, there was a post there, a wooden post. And I don't know, this guy was very smart. How he dug a little thing, and they had that thing in there.
He hollowed out part of the post to hide the radio inside?
Yeah.
And the Germans never found it?
Never found it.
And that was your connection to the outside world.
Yeah, we used to hear British broadcasting, and they would tell us exactly how far our people were. So we were just taking it easy in prison. We didn't do nothing to arise the Germans. That's the way we kept it. until the people came in, you know.
And we're going to hear about that, too, by the time we're done. Break time again. Pascual Reyes is our guest today. He and his wife, Ramona, have been married for 69 years. And you can find a photo of them at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. We're going to catch the rest of his remarkable story when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this. If you spent much time listening to Hometown Heroes, you've probably heard veterans from all over America talking about the mission of the Honor Flight Network, taking World War II veterans free of charge to see their memorial in Washington, D.C.
I wanted to see it. I've always wanted to see it since they built it. And to see all those guys there that did survive, and then they get emotional. Pretty soon you get emotional, too.
I tell you, that Honor Flight, I just can't believe what a wonderful deal it is.
Everywhere people came up to us, military guys and civilians, and wanted to shake our hands and thank us for all we did. I kept saying there were 16 million of us, you know, and I only did a little piece. But it was just an emotional high.
When it comes to our men and women in uniform, all gave some, and some gave all. A reality underscored as veterans visit the World War II, Korea, and Vietnam memorials and Arlington National Cemetery.
All those white crosses, they go into your heart. You just know that there's good guys there, but they had to die. For what? So you could live.
And while they are still living, Honor Flight gives the rest of us a chance to express our gratitude. Won't you encourage the World War II veterans in your life to put in applications for this all-expenses-paid journey to their memorial?
It does something for each of us who have been veterans who go back, whether we're a guardian or whether we're honored as a guest on the flight. It completes our life, really. Gives us a sense of fulfillment that we weren't able to have before, I think.
If you live near me in Central California, find Central Valley Honor Flight at cvhonorflight.org. Wherever you're listening, there's a hub in your area, and you can find it on the national website, honorflight.org. Sign up a veteran, volunteer to help, or donate to this important and time-sensitive mission. It's amazing what it means to these members of our greatest generation.
I'm telling you, they make you feel so good and so wonderful. Let me tell you, I can't preach enough about this. You listening?
The manner in which we were treated and greeted and acted toward was just awesome. It made me believe that the people of the United States are just wonderful.
Time is of the essence. Team up with Honor Flight today and help give our veterans one more tour with honor.